Johanna, that testimony just lights my world up. It really does. And it's just, that is just the power of Jesus. And that is what we all get to be a part of. We've all been united into that, into Christ. And that power is, in a sense, ours. Like, not ours, but we get it. We get him. We get to receive that power. And that's so amazing. Because he is not only deliverer, but he is sustainer. And that is just such a beautiful thing. It is such a beautiful thing. I'm excited this morning. I'm really excited this morning. We are continuing on this series on identity. And we're looking at who we are in God's eyes. And I thank God that he wants us to look at ourselves through his eyes and not through my own eyes. There was a long time period in my life when I looked at myself in the mirror and I absolutely despised the person I was looking at. I hated the person I was looking at. And this is after I had surrendered my life to the Lord. There was a long period of me wrestling with God and saying, God, I don't understand why you see me like this. I don't understand how this is who I am when I see who I am. And it wasn't until a long wrestle with the Lord, so it all came clear and that revelation just came to light. And I'm so grateful for that. And so I want to start off by saying this one thing because it really is going to help throughout the rest of the series on how we see ourselves. And understand that God sees you from a position of eternity. God sees your life from the position of eternity. He lives in eternity. He lives in eternity. We're actually in the midst of eternity right now. So he looks at your life. He's viewing your very life from eternity. So when he looks at you, he encompasses everything that eternity, that you are in eternity through Christ. He takes the whole thing, the whole package, and that's how he views you. That's his perspective. Isn't that beautiful? And so as we continue on in the series, I want to encourage you to begin to see yourself from an eternal perspective. To see yourself as an eternal being. Not somebody who is just here on this earth for a limited period of time. But to begin to see yourself as an eternal being. It makes all the difference in the world. When we come into Christ, our identity completely changes for eternity, doesn't it? It changes completely and it changes fraternity. No longer are we seen as somebody who is opposed from God, but now we're somebody who is brought near to God. No longer are we a sinner opposed to God, but now we have been set apart for holy purposes. We have been made co-heirs with Christ, and we have been called to be his saints. Not just for this time and these years that you have on this planet, but for eternity. This is your status. No longer are we destined to perish, but we are destined for eternity. We are destined to be with God for eternity. When Christ came into your life, at that very moment, you stepped into eternal life. This world that we live on now is just a temporary passing through of this amazing thing called eternity and this eternal life that we have. So as we continue on, remember this. God sees you from an eternal perspective. He sees you from the position of eternity. And so therefore, if we are going to see ourselves the way that God sees us, then we too should begin to see ourselves from an eternal perspective. Amen? Amen. And we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to nip a little thing in the butt this morning. Is that okay? Okay. Everyone's like, what? What are you talking about? Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to read this whole passage from 25 through to 34. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in the barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O, you of little faith? So do not worry. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. So therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? We were on vacation in the middle of August, and we had a pool at this place that we were staying in. Man, we spent every single night in the pool. The kids are like, we did all these fun things in the day, and they're like, we just want to go home to the pool. And so the girls would be in the pool, mom and I would be, Liz and I would be in the pool, and then there was this one little boy of ours. He was like, uh-uh. He's like, I do not know what that blue liquidy stuff is. I am not going in there. For about 4 or 5 days, I mean, he's been exposed to the ocean. He screamed. I got it on video. It's hysterical. The first time the ocean touched his feet was just one of those screams that are so silent, you know. It's so high-pitched that you can't hear it. It's so funny. But so anyway, so we're at this pool, and he sees everybody having fun. But he's not sure about this water. He's uncertain about this water. He's like, I ain't going in there. And he just played around the pool, on the edge of the pool, for the hour or two that we were there each and every night. There was a worry each and every time. He was worried about what this water was. He was worried about this uncertain substance. I don't know what this stuff is. I'm not familiar with that. But we kept assuring him, hey, man, it's okay. Look, we're all in here. Look, come on in. And after a while, as he saw other people not worrying about this unknown substance, he let me hold him. And he let me bring him into the water. He felt secure in my arms. And he let me hold him in the midst of uncertainty. My little boy let me hold him. And to hold him secure in the midst of uncertainty. This morning I want to talk about how you and I are secure beings. Our identity is of a secured people. Eternally and completely secure in the hands of your Father. Within every human being, there's this longing to be at a place of security. Within every human being, every soul is longing to be at rest, to be at this constant state of peace, not having to worry or feel insecure about everything. And you take a look at the world that we live in, it's constantly busy, trying to create a way to fulfill this internal need of all of ours to feel secure. You got life insurance policies, health insurance policies, car insurance policies, IRAs, mutual funds, all these things. Those are personal security. And then you look at national security. Every nation has their own armed forces. We have the UN. All of these things, all of these entities are created out of mankind's internal need to be at rest and feel secure. Now, don't get me wrong. All of those things are good, and I'm very thankful for them. I'm not telling you to not put your money into health insurance or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But what you see is no matter how much we as people try to provide security for ourselves, outside of God, there is still going to be a sense of insecurity. Outside of the presence of God, there's always going to be a sense of insecurity. Whether it be a threat of identity theft or the threat of a terrorist attack or whether the threat of a stock market collapse or whether just the threat of getting in your car and getting hit. The point I'm trying to make is this, that there is a constant pursuit within each and every person, within mankind, to feel secure, to seek a place of rest and peace. Our souls actually long for it. And the reason that our souls long for it is because they were created to experience it for eternity. The soul that was created by who? By our God, our Creator. He created within us the desire. We were created to always experience peace and rest for eternity. And so now that sin comes into the world and the fall of mankind, now all of a sudden everyone is on this pursuit to find that peace once again. That place of perfect rest and security that we were created to have. We even go as far as to arrange our lives in such a way as to follow everybody else's footsteps, don't we? Oh, if Jack and Jill are doing this, I better do this too. And we feel a sense of security in the fact that everybody else is doing it. Feeling secure is as a high priority in this world. High, high priority. Because we live in a world that is filled with uncertainty. We live in a world that's filled with uncertainty. Anything can happen at any time. And when you know that anything that can happen at any time, it results in our insecurity. It results in we worry. We fear, and we're crippled by anxiety. This is the truth. The pursuit of finding security, this place of beautiful, perfect rest, this constant pursuit, comes from a heart that worries. Now let me make something very clear. This is the truth. No matter what anyone tries to tell you, worrying is not a natural part of your life. Worrying is not a natural part of your life. God did not create us to worry. Worrying is a product of sin. It is a product of the fall of mankind. If you remember in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve are in the garden and they grab a bite to eat at the wrong tree. Don't go to that tree. That's a bad tree. They both eat from it. What happens next? Adam says, God says, where are you guys? Adam says, I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid. I hid myself. Now take a look at that for a moment. You know you just did something. And the revelation of what you just did comes to pass. I'm like, oh no, I stepped out of line. I stepped out of what God has called for me. Uh-oh. And I heard the sound of you in the garden. What am I doing? I'm looking over my shoulder. And so I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, and I was afraid, and I was afraid, and so I hid myself. This is the day that mankind began to worry about what may happen to them. It was the fall of man. Their sense of complete security in God was erased because of sin. So worry is not a natural part of you. Please understand that. Worry is not a natural part of you. It is a product of the sin that came into this world, which is the product of the influence of an enemy who hates you with everything inside of him. Understand this morning that God created you in His image. He created you to be like Him. Worry and fear are completely absent from His presence. So therefore, you were created to have complete rest and assurance of security covered by Him for eternity. Isn't that beautiful? Worry and anxiety and fear, I'm just going to kind of lump them all three together. They're immensely destructive. They do. I looked at some studies that were done this week about what anxiety does, the causes of what it does. Anxiety due to worry causes stress, which causes all kinds of health issues. It damages your health. It's destructive. It dramatically reduces our productivity. It can negatively affect the way we treat others. And most importantly, it reduces our faith in God. Worrying is when we are so consumed with fear that we're unable to trust God. And when you're unable to trust God, you're vulnerable to the enemy's schemes. See, the enemy knew how destructive worrying would be to mankind. He understood it. He knew what he was doing in the garden. Trust me. He knew exactly what he was doing. And so he knew that if he could implant worry and fear into us, that it would cause catastrophic destruction. Catastrophic destruction. When we worry and fear, when worry and fear entered this world through sin, it caused a worldwide destruction for thousands of years, and it still continues today. War is the result of fear and worry, anxiety. It causes complete destruction, and it makes the enemy delightful. He delights in it. But know this morning, you have nothing to worry about. And here's the truth. Enter Jesus on the scene. Jesus came to remove that which was meant to damage and destroy you. He came on the scene to remove all that which was meant to damage and destroy you. He entered this world on an eternal mission to restore what the enemy had destroyed and to restore us back to our original state, our original created state in our God's eyes. That's what Jesus came to do. That's your Jesus. That's your Jesus. He came to remove all the worry, guys. All the fear. All the anxiety. He came to remove everything in this world that was meant to destroy you, to meant to damage you. And he says, you know what? Now that you are in me, you are eternally secure in my hands. This is your identity, friends. Church, this is your identity. No longer are you vulnerable. No longer are you vulnerable because of the power of the name of Jesus. Jesus makes you secure for eternity. Jesus provides the way for all of us who are in Him to be free from worry, to be free from fear, to be free from anxiety. That's your Jesus. Amen? Worrying comes from a heart that's distracted. When we are so preoccupied with the pressures and difficulties of life to the point that it causes anxiety and stress and even depression, it's damaging in so many ways. One example is the inability to sleep. You know those times when you lay awake wondering and you're worrying maybe about a loved one, or you're worrying about a past regret, or maybe you're worrying about financial uncertainty or all the things that you feel pressured to accomplish tomorrow? You know those nights? We all know those nights. King David was no stranger to the threat of worry. He had plenty on his mind. He had plenty to worry about. Even as a revolt was rising up against him, his own army rising up against him, that would cause a little bit of worry, wouldn't it? Yet he was able to rest in the security of a loving Father in heaven. In Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, King David writes, "In peace I will lay down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe." He says in Psalm chapter 3, verse 5, "I lay down and sleep, and I awoke, for the Lord has sustained me." David was facing some troubling times, but he knew God would keep him safe, and he trusted him to do so. And I know that sleep does not come easy during stressful times. However, it is much easier to sleep with the calm assurance of knowing that God is in control, that He is your shelter, that He is your fortress, that He is your deliverer, that He is your protector, that He is your rock. And when you know that, you can rest in that complete blessed assurance. And you are able to lay your head down and rest. And rest. If you're here this morning and you find yourself lying awake at night worrying about things that ultimately you have no control over or that you cannot change, let me challenge you out of love to use it as an opportunity to pour out your heart to God. Use that as an opportunity. What does it say in Philippians? Worry about nothing, but pray about everything. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it all to Him. Now I'm going to say something a little bit more heavy. Because the weightlifting thing is Jesus Christ. And I'm going to make that point again. We're outside of God's natural design for us when we worry. We're outside of God's natural design when we worry. Because fear, worry, anxiety, they don't exist in His kingdom. They don't exist in His presence. They are false pretenses in which the enemy uses so that you will not look to the truth of who you are in Christ. But instead, His purpose is to make you think like the person you used to be before Christ. That's what He's doing. The things that we worry about are false pretenses that the enemy is using so that you cannot and will not. You'll be so preoccupied with worrying about the things of this world and the things that you have to get done and the things that aren't getting done. You're so preoccupied in heart and in mind that you forget who you are in Christ's eyes. And so you end up being so preoccupied that you remember who you used to be before Christ. For those who are in Christ, you are a new creation. Completely brand new creation. You're no longer held back as a sinner opposed to God, but you have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't leave here this morning without knowing that for those who are in Christ, you are given the weightlifting promise of eternal security in God. Eternal security, guys. That's way beyond what we can see here and now. So therefore, you have nothing to worry about. You hear me? Please hear me. Please hear me. You have nothing to worry about. These are not my words. I just read Jesus saying it. You have nothing to worry about. And you can experience eternal rest and peace here and now because you're in Christ. I'm going to look at John chapter 10. Listen to this. John chapter 10, 28 and 29 says this. Well, I'm going to use verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I gave them eternal life. And they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. You can never be snatched out of the hand of your Father because you are in Christ. This is who you are. You are eternally secure in God's hands. And the enemy is going to do his best to keep you focused on the before image of yourself. He's going to keep you focused. He's going to make every effort to keep you focused on the before image of yourself. His intent is to hide from you the truth of Christ in you. He knows that if He can keep you distracted on worry, which leads to anxiety and stress, then He knows that you're going to be too preoccupied and will not remember who you are in Christ. That's why we have the Word of God. Before Christ, we were vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. We had no defense against it. But now, since you have become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you're promised eternal security. Once, you were vulnerable. And now, you are forever secure. forever secure. Friends, I'm telling you that this gives you rest. You can experience that eternal rest that your spirit has been longing for since God created mankind. You can experience it here and now in this life because this is your eternal life. And although you go through trials in life, and though you face unfair situations, though you face difficulties in life, we all do, no matter what size they are, they will not shatter you. Because you have been promised eternal security in the love of the Father in heaven. Please don't get me wrong and say that we're not going to face difficult things. We all know that's not true. We all face difficult things. And we all kind of put measurements on how difficult they are compared to other difficulties. But take heart, which means grab a hold of courage. Grab a hold of it. Do not worry, because Jesus has overcome everything you will face in this world. He overcame it all. And you have been united with Him, and He has made you an overcomer. He has given you the ability through His blood to walk victoriously through this life. And so when you face difficult things, things that are earth-shattering for everyone else around you, they will not shatter you because you are covered by the blood of the Lamb. And the blood of the Lamb says that you are forever secure and you will not be shattered, but you will always be held together in the hands of your loving Father. This is a promise made to you and you and you and you and you and you. This is the truth of the Word of God. You have been united with Him and have been given eternal security and protection from the Father. Oh, yes. Rest, peace, assurance, that ability to just go, thank you, God. Thank you, God. So the application of this message is simple. Live every day out of a secured position. Live every day at a position that says, I am secure in the hands of my God for eternity. For eternity. Live is your application. Seek the kingdom of God above everything else. Live righteously, and He will give you everything that you need. And the third thing is rest. How can you apply this message? Just rest. Rest. One of my favorite scriptures in the Word of God is Matthew 11:28-30. Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Liz, could I invite you on up, please? Actually, all the worship team. Let's invite the whole worship team up. So God is ministering right now in this place. Come to me, all, everyone. Come to me, Jesus says. Come to me, Jesus says. When you're weary and when you're burdened, and you feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders, Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. You don't have to work for rest. I think somebody needed to hear that this morning. You do not have to work for rest. Jesus says, come to me when you're weary and you're burdened and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find the rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Church, the weight of the world was never meant to be your burden to carry. The weight of your families, the burden of family, was never meant to be the burden that you're supposed to carry on your shoulder. The burden of your work life, the worries of your workload, were never meant for you to be carrying that burden. Jesus died to take all the weight off of your shoulders so that you can walk victoriously through this life completely at peace, completely at rest, complete assurance that you are forever secure in your Father's hands. You have nothing to worry about. This is His love for you. This is love. This is grace. This is the beauty of our Savior. This comes with the package of an amazing Lamb who sacrificed His life so that not only we could have eternal life, but in that eternal life, we can experience eternal rest. That we don't ever have to look over our shoulder worrying about what's going to happen to us because we're afraid. Because the Word of God says over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, do not fear, do not worry, take heart, behold, take a hold of courage. For I have overcome the world, says Jesus. And so you may be here thinking today, feeling like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. You may be thinking that this thing called rest seems more like a theory than a reality. I'm here to tell you that rest is granted to you. It is part of grace. It is a gift of grace. It comes with that beautiful gift of grace, the ability to be at rest and at peace. So if you think the world, the weight of the world is on your shoulders, let me remind you of this passage in Psalms 55:22, which says, cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. God wants you to cast all the cares and the burdens on Him. He is with you during the trials of your life. We promise to never leave you, to never forsake you. And when you believe this, embrace it, and walk in it, and live it out in this secured position, that's when fear is conquered, and fear no longer has a hold on your life. Here's today's truth that applies to you, and we're done. Before Christ, we were vulnerable to the destruction of worry and fear and anxiety and stress. But now, but now, you are united with Christ. His identity has become your identity. And so you are no longer vulnerable. You're not vulnerable anymore. But you have been given the Spirit of Christ. And you have been made eternally secure in Him. He has given you His Spirit as a deposit. And when He implants His Spirit into you, understand that that Spirit brings along with Him peace and rest and eternal security. This means that you're free from stress. You are free from worry. Today, you are free from fear. Today, you are free from anxiety. Today, you are free. You are free. You are free this morning. Can we stand together, please? Because I believe God is doing something right now. And I kind of want to go with it. We're going to go with it. I know that this message is doing something on the inside of people here this morning. And I'm going to ask you guys to respond to this message. I want to pray for you. Mike, I'm going to ask you to pray for people when they come up. Greg, I'm going to ask you to pray for people, please, as well. When we talk about the worries of life and the difficulties of life, we talk about personal things. Each and every one of us has... Can you just a little lower for a second? Each and every one of us, the things that we tend to worry about, which I'm saying we are, should not worry about, they're personal things. They're things that really don't match up with other people's worries. It's individual. But friends, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. And this freedom is for all of us together. I'm asking you to take out of your vocabulary this sentence. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about this. I'm asking you to gather courage to eliminate those words from your speech. Because Jesus says, do not worry. I've got you in my hands for eternity. So if you are here this morning and this message is impacting your life, I'm going to ask you to come on up. And we're going to lay hands on you guys. As the worship team just plays, God's doing some work right now, and I want to allow Him to keep ministering. So we're going to close the service. Please feel free to go on. But I believe that God is ministering right now in this place. And so right now, let's do it right now, guys. If this message has impacted your life, if this message, the word, the truth of God, has tweaked something inside of you, come forward. We want to pray with you, please. Greg, if I could ask you to come on forward too, guys. Guys, just lead us in a song, please. That'd be awesome. Come on forward. Come on forward. Come on forward. Greg, come on up here in the middle, man. Just start to pray with people. Just lay hands on them. God is ministering in this place. God is ministering in this place. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. There is